The whole idea of decentralization seems to depend on how autonomous the local governments are. So if the local governments are so dependent on the central government, then they are less likely to be able to meet the needs of the locals.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Are local governments rewarded for supporting a country's political leadership? Or maybe the central government targets spending in places where it thinks it can pick up support when there's the next election? Well, accusations of favouritism or buying votes, they're as old as democracy itself, and that means thousands of years. But a new paper uses a rigorous analysis of fiscal outcomes in Ghana over two decades to discover whether a political system that was created in part to defeat cronyism has worked as intended. Samuel Obeng of the University of Warwick is one of the authors. Samuel, welcome.
Thanks, Tim.
We have to let the audience in on a secret at this point. This is the third time we've tried to record this, isn't it?
It is. It's been coming.
Yeah, it turns out that getting a stable line between the UK and Ghana isn't as easy as I thought it was. Great to have you here now. Now, first of all, tell me about the history of cronyism. All over the world, we hear these accusations about how governments target regions to reward their supporters or they're buying votes. Does the research up to now tell us that these things happen in high-income countries?
Interestingly, the research originates from high-income countries, so there's more evidence for high-income countries, and both theory and the empirical research, and there's evidence for countries such as US, where states that vote for incumbent parties are rewarded, so states that vote for the president are rewarded with more funding. And you find that states that have governors with same affiliation as the president in power are rewarded. And you find similar evidence for countries such as Portugal, for Spain, and for Italy. The evidence abounds for high-income countries here. It's just recent literature that's been trying to look for evidence for emerging countries here.
And I said in the introduction that Ghana's political structure, it was set up to make these things harder to do. So can you describe what they did?
The political structure is in four tiers. The first is the regional administrative. So it's just an administrative tier. They don't have any budget, no political power. Then you come to the second tier, which is the metropolitan, municipal, and district assemblies, what we call the district assemblies in short. And these are based on the sizes. So cities are mostly metropolis. And then the smaller towns are municipalities. Then the very small ones are the district. So the MMDAs, for short, have budgeting, political, administrative and legal powers. So they are the mainstay of decentralization in Ghana. So that is where our focus is. But the leader, the administrative head, political administrative figure of the MMDA is what we call the district chief executive, call him the mayor. He is appointed by the central government. So all districts are aligned to the same degree because the mayor is appointed by the central government. Then you have what we call the member of parliament, who represents a constituency within each district. So a district has at least one constituency which is represented in the national parliament. So you have a member of parliament who is politically elected, partisan election. So that is where the differences in affiliation comes in. So you have two kind of heads. One is politically elected and the other is appointed. Then you have another interesting aspect, which is the allocation from the central government to the local government, which is the grant, which is supposed to be formula-based, but because of the affiliations there, that is where the manipulations happen.
Ghana is a fairly young democracy, isn't it? Has it been successful over the last couple of decades?
So since the turn of the Fourth Republic in 92, there have been 8 successful elections, and each election has a 4-year term for each president, and it has a multi-party democracy system dominated, as similar to other countries, by two main parties, the NDC, the National Democratic Congress, and the NPP, the New Patriotic Party. So a center-left and a center-right who have taken turns to rule over the period. And interestingly, each has had 8 years of rule. So it's been a successful democracy.
So let's go into this into a little bit of detail. What funding, therefore, can central government allocate to the regions? How important is this funding?
The main source of funding is what we call the District Assembly Common Fund, which is between 5 and 10% of central government total revenue. And this is allocated, it's budgeted, and it's mandatory, constitutionally provided. And it makes up to 80% of local government revenues. in some cases about 90%. So when you find districts, the poorer the districts, the more dependent they are on the DACF. And because of that, it's formula based. It's supposed to be determined by the District Assembly Common Fund Administration. And then the formula is approved by the Parliament. So the formula has four components: the equity, the needs base, the responsiveness factor, and a factor that takes care of density. So the needs means that it is supposed to bridge the gap between the poor and the rich district. Then equity, everybody has a similar amount of allocation. Then you have the responsiveness factor. Then you have the service pressure, which takes care of density. But the responsiveness is to encourage local governments to raise their own revenue. But the interesting fact is how much of each of the components is determined by the political party in power. So you have situations where the components are manipulated following the ideology of whichever party is in power.
And the restrictions on the government's discretion are this formula. How do they manage to manipulate it?
So as I said, it has four components and it's 100% allocation. But exactly how much is focused on for each of the components depends on the party in power. So for instance, you find there's empirical evidence that when you have the center-right party in power, they are likely to manipulate the service pressure part because that is what goes into the elite communities because they are considered the elitist party. Then when you have, let's say, the center-left party in power, they are going to manipulate the needs-based factor which goes into the poor communities. So that is where the manipulation, so it's 100% yes, but as to how much is allocated to each component depends on the party in power.
Now, you wanted to estimate the effects of this manipulation, how much favoritism there is. How did you do that?
So we used the regression discontinuity approach. What we did was we took advantage of the vote share. So we looked at the discontinuity in the vote share. So we looked at mainly, as I said, the vote difference between the two main parties. Because, for instance, recently in Parliament, you have 137 seats for the NDC, 137 for the NPP, and one independent candidate. So it's almost a hung parliament. So it's almost a difference between either of them as winner or loser. So we use that and then we consider fiscal outcomes such as expenditure, revenues, and central government grants. So we use a regression discontinuity as there because it's a first past the vote system. Yes.
And big question, what did you find?
Interesting. So first we looked at how such outcomes, fiscal outcomes, behave over the electoral cycle period. So we looked at outcomes, so levels of local government revenue generated, levels of grants received, levels of expenditure pre and post election. So we find that such allocations peak in election years. So they rise in the year preceding the election and then they're highest in election years. Then they dip after election. So you find something like an austerity measure after the elections, which is normal for most countries. Sometimes in election years, allocations are as high as 200%. So we find that, yes, there is an electoral cycle for those fiscal outcomes. Then in terms of the regression discontinuity design, we find that parties that are aligned are always targeted and they receive almost 80% more revenue in election years, which is quite interesting. So you find that they receive more revenue in election year and they tend to spend more.
Now, you also investigated something called the flypaper effect. I have to admit, I hadn't heard of it. What is the flypaper effect in general?
So the idea of the flypaper effect is that local governments are likely to spend more out of central government allocations than their own revenue generation because raising own revenue means taxing people and then you could be punished politically. So they are likely to spend more out of what sometimes is called the free money because they receive it from the central government as against spending on their own. But we go beyond the flypaper effect to look at what we call the crowd in and crowd out, which is whether when they receive such grants from the central government, it makes them raise more of their own revenue or they become lazy because they receive free money. So you look at the flypaper effect and also the crowd in and crowd out effect.
And what did you find for these then?
So for the flypaper effect, we find that yes, they spend more of central government grants. So they spend close to twice how much they receive from central government grants. And we find that yes, there's no crowd out effect, which means that they tend to raise their own revenues more, which is good because the part of the formula, which is the responsiveness factor, is supposed to incentivize local governments to raise own revenues. Each, let's say, pound received leads to an equivalent pound increase in local government revenue generation, which is positive.
As you did find some effects, some distortions and manipulations here, is it at the level where you think that this is a problem for Ghana's economic development?
I believe it is because the whole idea of decentralization seems to depend on how autonomous the local governments are, fiscal autonomy in this case. So if the local governments are so dependent on the central government, then they are less likely to be able to meet the needs of the locals. As long as they are dependent on the government and as long as there is room for such manipulations, you have inequalities in terms of development between local governments. So it would be important that in themselves, they become fiscal autonomous, then they can meet the standards and levels that they're expected to meet.
It's very interesting, and it's a sort of research that I'm sure that we're going to be seeing more of in the future, because it's so important, as you say, for the development of the country. Samuel, thank you for talking to me about it.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
The paper's called Rewarding Allegiance, Political Alignment and Fiscal Outcomes in Local Government, and the authors are Christa Brunschweiler and Samuel Kwabena Obing. This has been a VoxDev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform, and the past episodes always are at voxdev.org.